Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Oh My God, Teddy.
We can't stop snapping, Brad. Incredible episode. This is the season opener. We have two brand new cards, Zemo and Red Hulk. Very punchy opening to the season and a spicy OTA. Ooh, Lord, is coming in hot off of all these updates. What is, so I guess OTA new cards, calling anything changed a new card?
Yeah.
Favorite, Zemo, Hulk, and OTA?
Between the three, like what my favorites
yes.
are?
Yes.
I'm going to say the OTA because I think it's going to be enough of a shakeup. But first, before we get to
cheering for Thanos' downfall, or is there like, oh, I really wanted Crossbones to be playable?
I am. Yeah. So I just want Thanos to be in line with what everyone, gotcha. Like all the other decks are.
Gotcha.
And I think this is a great step forward to kind of just solve that. And plus, they kind of hinted at revisiting some of these stones. Before we get to the OTA, got to do some reminders.
Yep.
Get those out of the way. Veggies first, you get to dessert later. Follow us over on YouTube. Go subscribe. We have grown a lot on YouTube recently in the last few weeks. Our last episode, or not the last episode, the one before that, had a little over 2,000 views on YouTube, which is awesome. Really appreciate you guys. That's amazing.
Rolling.
Hopefully the next one is doing just as well. But go drop a sub. Remember, any bonus content that we put on Patreon, which the Thanos one is going to go up, the Thanos gameplay from the Patreon went up there. Any bonus content that we have on Patreon will come to YouTube as the other option. So that gives you a reason to come sub. The next one is how to play Loki that we did of more of like a backseat gaming kind of thing.
That one will go
live probably this weekend, probably Sunday is what I want to aim for.
Yep.
And then Teddy, we got to record another one. So once we do record another one, hopefully maybe we can do something this weekend, we can go ahead and put that on Patreon. And where can they go, Teddy? What website can they go to see all these wonderful things?
Hit us up on the Patreon to be able to get that early access. You can join without monetarily contributing. So we love to see the community grow there and just be able to have that extra access and that feedback from you guys on the content that we're making. Because while we do this as a passion project, we do want it tailored to what you guys are interested in as well.
So that's patreon.com/can'tstopsnapping. And speaking of Patreon, Teddy, if you did not know, I know you didn't, Teddy. This is news to you.
Yep.
If you are typically, there's two paid tiers, $5 for just support and then $10. The $10 tier typically allows you to even see live episodes. Like we have a couple people in the audience tonight watching the live episode. On the 18th of this month, so not next week, the week after, because we always record on Thursday nights, the 18th, around usually go for around 8:30. We'll dial in the exact time next week. But around 8:30 Eastern is when we go live. We're going to make that open to everyone on the Patreon, all free members, all paid members, anything. So join the Patreon for free as a free member. And on the 18th, we're going to have a live showing that you can see right here on a recording.
Get
the
chat rolling. Find some ways to be interactive. We're both streamers. Yep. We love that. So can't wait to see you guys.
And yeah, you can chat in as the audience, which is pretty great. So we'll be able to do some questions like Q&A, maybe try to find a segment for that. If we ever do get to a point where the audience is large enough to be able to do that every week, I'd love that. But this is going to be a great test drive for these tiers. And eventually I'd like to be able to move the live thing to the $5 tier. And then as we add more things to the $10 tier to make it more bang people's bucks, but we'll get there when we get there. All right, let's talk about the OTA, which...
Oh, our warrior princess, she is back. Angela, you guys upgraded the cards. I know you upgraded her cards. Now you get the full payoff. She's just back. 2-0 plus 2 when played to her location. With how much flexibility we're getting off of a number of different cards that are being updated and released, I love seeing this. Vision has been kind of a mainstay now. Silk fell off, but Jeff is still there. Even Nightcrawler is still there. And with the final resting place of Bloodstone as like a pretty good piece as well, this deck is looking hot.
Yeah, I love the Angela change. They want to bring back the small ball type of gameplay. Funnily enough, I'm only going to mention it because it's just right here, the next thing on the screen. Not mentioned in the patch notes, of course, they won't be, but no. A hidden OTA like we had last week, essentially, for the future cards.
They must have been listening to our episode. We're like, oh man, Jubi into Blink. Lights out.
Yeah, so they brought Blink down from a 5.7 in the data mines to a 5.6. Yeah, still Jubilee into Blink 4 and 5 is going to be very good for like Ramp decks or Tribunal or whatever wants to play this. But I'm more interested in a different 4 cost, Teddy. So forget Jubilee. Let's talk about Crossbones. It's a 4/10 now.
It's about dang time Crossbones got this update. You know, you ask, like, where should he land? 4/9, 4/10. People will also say which one is better. And with Shang being such a heavy balancing factor at where he is, there's a good case to 10 actually being worse than 9. But I love seeing him out of 8.
I do too. It does make it interesting when you can have a deck that's something like Zabu, and then you can have Crossbones, Cole. You can even do a Tuma if you wanted to. There's a bunch of 4/10s, and you can have Scar in the mix somehow.
They all make
maybe.
Scar cheaper, man. They all make Scar cheaper.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I don't know how good that's going to be. I haven't tested it yet. Also, maybe you could go even one step further and bring in Sentry as well and do Hood. Sentry and Nihilus package.
Well, yeah, I've also seen some of them just work around like Sentry in other ways, but they like using that extra 4/10.
And then you can bring in Zero with like some other things like maybe Titania or Martyr to be able to also turn off a Tuma, and maybe you can even
Typhoid
sneak
Mary.
In some Professor X.
Typhoid Mary, you got one more 4/10. The favorite stat
Typhoid.
Line is 4/10. The 4/10 is the most common stat line now, right?
I hate Typhoid Mary, though, because it makes me want to... Sure. I feel like I got to run Luke Cage and Zero and Enchantress. But to be fair, the package of Zero, Lizard, Luke Cage, Enchantress, and Typhoid Mary is one that's very intriguing to me and always has been.
U.S. Agent coming out next week, baby.
Maybe.
Something else within that combo for you to play with. More toys.
But then my worry is, like, cool, we get to play a bunch of 4/10s, but...
Yeah.
What happens when I don't draw Zabu?
You don't play that many 4/10s. That's the answer.
I'm really
it's
sad.
Pretty short and sweet.
Scar's so pretty bad now.
Yeah, here's the question. Like, you have Cole Obsidian, and now you have Crossbones. I feel like these are now going to really go head-to-head, more so than like the all-in on discounting Scar. And especially with
Obsidian,
the
though.
Leftovers of the War Machine deck, like still kind of kicking around and figuring out what their identity is. Mm-hmm. I feel like... That Crossbones and like was already almost played there. That deck's going to be happy with this change.
What do you think is better? The idea we're going with the Scar stuff, or just a simple 3-card little package as your 4 drops of Crossbones? I mean, you could do Ebony Maw as well, right?
Sure.
But Crossbones, Cold Obsidian, like Ebony Maw, War Machine.
Yep.
Like War Machine just like on 4, letting you go Ebony Maw plus one of these guys in any lane feels pretty good. Like, you don't even need to do Infinaut stuff. You don't need to do, like, Giganto. You can just do this.
Yeah, but if you do, and you go, like, Zabu, Hope, War Machine, then you can go both call Crossbones and light them up. So
yeah.
I think the War Machine deck is totally fine. I think it's right in there.
All right. Well, we got another one. I saw a lot of people complaining about this one, being like, they keep saying it's like someone in Second Dinner hates discard and they love destroy, and this is a... perfect example of that. Right. Meeks a 1/0. Okay.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Big deal.
If you have that complaint and you really believe it genuinely, and it's like, and I there are a lot of friends that I have in the content creation for this community, right? A lot of other content creators that I'm great friends with. I will not call them out by name, but I will call them out. And if they're listening, they know who they are. They're trying to do some engagement farming on Twitter and kind of feeding the fire with this kind of thing a little bit. And I'm just like, please stop. Please stop, because you're making the dumb players too vocal. Because you just go through the comments. You go through
Reddit
the comments, and they go, Second Dinner hates discard. Look at this. They hit Apoc. Now they hit Meek. They made Drac. Drac worse. Not Drax. Dracula.
Right.
Worse, even though that ended up being fine and not really a big deal.
He was totally fine.
So...
change is like totally justified for the value Meek had, and I think it goes hand in hand with his now flexibility. It means you want to get a little bit more value out of moving him rather than just placing him, forgetting him, and scaling him, which I think is always kind of the goal of this card with his little like bug flying around fantasy.
Meek
direct
plus
Proxima.
MODOK is huge.
It's huge. It's insane for what a one cost is able to do.
It's like
still
a plus four.
It's still the one cost you're always going to go to instead of, you know, any of these other options that discard had been playing previously. And to the aspect of like discard versus destroy in terms of the devs balancing, discard is way harder to counter in terms of the tools that you have available before we get Red Guardian to kill the Dracula. But in
Destroy, Red Guardian could also get Meek too.
He could get Meek, and that could be worth it, actually. That's the scary thing, right?
Red Guardian is on reveal.
Yeah.
Abs Man?
Oh, yeah. Double up, baby.
Oh, I love it. I love it. But yeah, don't be dumb. And I mean that with love. We all have dumb moments. Don't let this be your dumb moment. Yeah, understand that discard is still very good. As a whole, Apoc discard is still very good.
Also, what's awesome about discard is there's three viable decks and Destroy has one.
Right.
Unless you count Phoenix Force. But I count Phoenix Force as like the distant cousin. But
yeah,
discard
I count
has,
that, like, that's just a Phoenix Force deck.
Yeah, it's discard not, has Hela, Black Knight, and Apoc.
And sometimes they do all three at once, and I'm just like, I'm going to throw up.
That's what makes it even better, is that you get these hybrids of the two or three of them, and it's, yeah.
Yeah, and speaking of dumb moments and dumb things to talk about, let's not flip the script and say that Sabretooth is good now.
But is he good now?
No.
Just
I think
imagine,
he's
if he could
fun.
Be good now.
He's fun. Like, I mean, maybe. Okay, he's way better with Null now, because that plus one, going up by fives instead of fours,
right?
Two hits, that's went from 8 power to Null now to 10. So I do like him in that sense. But the problem is Destroy is such a tight. Okay, I need to insert Tuco Salamanca clip of him saying that. Very tight list. You can't fit this dude in there. Like,
yeah, the next
cutting?
Weakest card is still better than Sabretooth, is kind of the way that it comes out.
Right.
And it was really interesting. The fantasy before Null was Sabretooth, Death, and Moon Girl, or some kind of duplicating factor. And then you could also, when Forge was cheaper, you could buff the Sabretooth more easily. And you had some different weird shenanigans that you could pull there. But now Mobius is also around enough to make Sabretooth like invalid entirely. So honestly, I feel like you could get more value out of Bucky than Sabretooth if you want to flex
right
on Destroy.
And you don't even play Bucky.
Right.
Which Bucky needs some love. Bucky, you know what Bucky needs more than anything?
Bucky need?
He needs art for the Winter Soldier as variants.
They got it in animation finally. Like, we're moving.
I haven't even seen the animation yet. That's
no,
how
you haven't seen
I've
the animation?
It.
That's crazy. I play these bots all the time that play the ongoing Destroyer deck.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
They
play
Bucky.
Yeah, they'll play Bucky, and then I never see them destroy it. He just sits
there. I play Gladiator, and I'm like, oh, I pulled your Bucky.
Nice. But yeah, it's just Sabretooth is cool. I wish he was more like playable, because I love the card. I love the idea of it. The costing zero
he's
is
got
awesome.
An animation now too. He growls rar.
Well, he's had one for a while. They added that,
I know,
like,
but
last year
rare.
Well, yeah, like when they added it, I played him. I was like, look at this guy,
he's doing his thing.
But yeah, okay, that's the big one,
0/4,
the
yeah,
elephant,
so this is
in
like
the room,
a hand in hand.
Yeah, Thanos. these go together. So we got Thanos changing to starting in your hand. So he's like Quicksilver. This does not make him like Agatha. He does not give you an extra card in hand, my friends. He is Quicksilver. He is always going to be the leftmost card. He will be one out of the first three you draw, and then you draw your fourth. On top of which, to go along with this, they changed Time Stone again from give the card you drew -1 to giving Thanos -1, then drawing a card. Look, this does two big things.
Yep.
It reduces the consistency of having stones in your opening hand, which is...
Or just like cheap playable cards in general. Like,
correct.
Stuck with this 6 cost.
And also brings Thanos back to the forefront of the design of the stones and stuff. And like,
you're
going like to
see
idea.
Him hitting the board way more often, just
which I think is good.
He's there.
I think two things are going to happen. I think Mind Stone goes back to 1. I think it can at this point because the consistency is way worse.
Yeah.
I think,
I mean, some it's other, also fine.
Yeah, some other two. Buffs can come up with the other stones. Maybe Soulstone gets its drawback. They did hint in the OTA that they, in like the notes, that they will probably revisit some other stones and stuff. Oh, what also,
what if they just gave Purple Stone draw?
Yeah.
I'd be okay seeing it get, like, keep on changing the stones. They don't have to go back necessarily. Just, ooh, like, give us, keep giving us more evolutions.
I have a better one.
Okay.
Maybe.
Yep.
For purple in particular.
Yeah, yeah.
Can we just, so it goes up, it gets plus 10 if you play them all, right?
Yeah.
Purple's down.
Yep.
So let's say purple doesn't count itself. So
okay.
It counts the five other stones.
Yes.
Each time you play one of the other five stones, or it gives him plus two. Incremental. It gives him plus two for each one. Yeah.
Yeah.
For each other stone played, like ongoing, for each other Infinity Stone played, Thanos gets plus two.
I was always interested in some incremental benefit to Thanos based on the number of stones. I had even more convoluted ideas going at some point of like, oh, at this point, he becomes cheaper. Once you've played all of them, he jumps to your hand and like, yada, yada, he can't be destroyed with this stone and stuff like that. But yeah, just something that's like a little more Thanos-centric, like the stones all empower him rather than it being a super deck with these efficient Swiss Army knife of stone effects. Right. And then you basically never play Thanos because you never need to.
Which would be a really cool way to go with further design changes and like choices for Thanos now that he starts in your hand. So you're guaranteed to have your boss monster essentially
right.
in your hand.
And yeah, then, and then the whole gameplay is the stones make him better in different ways, right?
Yeah, and I think that could be really interesting too. I don't know. It's a fine line. Like I still want some generic flexibility of the stones to help the deck do what it wants to do.
Right.
I also want some to like help him more. What if... Okay, one last thing.
Yep, yep.
What if they made... This sounds a little bit convoluted.
All right.
Not as convoluted as your idea where he starts bouncing back to your hand and stuff.
Well, what that was before he started in your hand when he was just in the deck.
Yeah.
I was
like,
if I play all the stones and I'm getting all the buffs, I definitely want to be able to play him.
Right.
So then like at that point, there would be like a snap or something
but
and he would come into
at 620, you could... You go through all these hoops to get a 620 when I can just...
No,
have my
confident.
Opponent pass twice and I get a 619 with Red Hulk. Anyway, what if
balanced?
What if each stone
has
its first ability and then has a second ability that happens if Thanos is in play?
Oh, ooh, if he's in play?
Yes.
That's so hard to get to ever happen. You'd have to make Thanos way cheaper, right? Make him a 3 cost.
Yeah.
Make Thanos like a 3/3.
That'd be the craziest rework to a card to like change his cost and like
we make it even crazier, Brad.
All right.
Thanos is still the 6/10.
Okay.
He also creates an Infinity Gauntlet, which also starts in your hand. That one is the cheap one, and then the stones can like merge with the Infinity Gauntlet and do other things.
Yeah, and the Infinity Gauntlet just says ongoing. If an Infinity Stone is played here, merge with this card.
Right. Yeah.
Ooh, I like that.
There we go.
Infinity Gauntlet's probably what, a 2 cost?
It's just you're always going to see Thanos play it out.
Yeah, I think a 2/2 would be fine.
Yeah.
Hmm. It also changes the board space problem that Thanos has had before.
Yep.
But yeah, I don't know. Like, I'd love to see, and then I guess, so they merge with the Infinity Gauntlet, and then the idea is, the secondary text. Like I said, if Thanos was on the board, change that to if this merges with an Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah.
Or the Infinity Gauntlet.
Exactly.
It does this.
Exactly.
Which I guess they should just all be ongoing effects, right? Because they're all on reveals, and if they merge, they give an ongoing to Infinity Gauntlet. And Infinity Gauntlet ends up being like a super scroll type of like, I have 6 different ongoings right now.
Yeah, it just keeps track of like the stones.
Which was really cool, because then you could just add the draw thing back to Soulstone,
sure.
But make the ongoing need to be tied to the Infinity Gauntlet. Okay, I actually really like this idea.
All right.
I would love
We're embracing it.
Give us access to a test server to play test this type of stuff, please. Yeah. Overall thoughts, Teddy, because you didn't know about the OTA until literally 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, I've been at work, and then I've been at a church meeting, and so this is like Teddy's hot takes. Hot takes are, I love Angela being good. This card is still going to be annoying. Not going to play Sabretooth. Yeah. The Thanos change I really love, just freshening up the meta. I think that we needed that because he was still lingering around, and I really want to see some of these stuff like the War Machine deck and the Mill deck and then the other Zemo decks like have a chance to breathe. And I do want, I actually want Silky Smooth to be a evergreen. I just like that deck. And I don't know where I want to give more power to it or if it's okay now, but I like Silky Smooth as an archetype being like just always there.
And it hasn't been for a while. The top decks are for the patch today.
Yep. Look at this. Should we talk about Red Hulk?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about Red Hulk in the form of asking you a question.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
Now
this
blob
that at a no effort 625 good. Yes.
Yeah. Now that Thanos is seemingly being brought back into this like, you know, weaker form, but I think still probably okay. You're going to see a lot less complaints about Thanos, right?
Okay.
What card or cards, if you can give me like a top two or three off the top of your head, become the new scapegoat for the Marvel Snap community to complain the most about?
Ooh, to complain the most about? Red Hulk might be one of them. He so truly might be one of them.
Why did they make him a 6'11"? That's my second question.
Right. Why did he get the buff? He did not need the buff.
Was he really underperforming at a 6'10", guys?
We talked about this on the previous podcast that was surprising to us beforehand, and it's even more surprising once he's in hand and you realize it's actually very consistent that he scores his on ability, even though the opponent sees it happening. Like, they really can't prevent it very often.
Right.
They can't prevent it from happening like a couple times.
Yeah.
I personally have some vendettas out there. I do not like Black Knight. Black Knight is so arrogant in being able to drop these big cards in the mid game that you cannot interact with.
I love the choice of the word arrogant.
It feels silly that you have all these control cards and Black Knight is just like, but they don't affect me.
You have to, you know, hit it with like Enchantress first and then like you Shang-Chi it, but then you're
layered effects in a 6-turn game is not possible.
Right.
Yeah.
I do think, I feel like they should pivot to one or the other.
I would love to see that. And I would love to pivot to being not destroyed. I don't want Shang to be the cure-all. I want Valkyrie and Shadow King to have a reason to exist.
Exactly, because then that gives... As far as balance goes, I was more on the side of wanting Shang-Chi to be the thing that hits it, only because we've had this conversation before, only because I didn't want multiple cards to be answers to him versus just like a singular card. But then with Shang-Chi being so prevalent in the meta, I want there to be other cards. Yes. I want there to be like... Yeah, I don't want people just be like, well, I guess I put Shang-Chi in my deck. Like, I want people to have to literally sit down and think, do I put Shang in my deck? Do I put, you know, like Red Guardian in a few weeks? Do I put that in my deck? Do I put Shadow King in my deck? Do I put Rogue? Like, I want there to be a reason for all these cards to, like, really make you think. Maybe the Angela change can do that to bring back Shadow King to the forefront. Do you have any other ones besides Black Knight?
That's probably my lead one. Like, I don't love, like, personally don't like playing against Hela, and I don't like playing against Phoenix Force, but I'm at peace with them remaining in the deck state that they are currently at.
I think Phoenix Force is perfectly fine because the second you see them, like, if they play a multiple man on two and then they snap, I'm just like, I assume you have Venom into Phoenix Force. I'm leaving because I'm not going to be able to beat the 2/8 all over the board.
Uh-huh.
Can't do it. So that one I'm fine with. It's so easy to retreat against. Speaking of which, Red Hulk shows your opponent, if you guys don't know this yet, shows your opponent when he gets added, which I think is fair. It should, like, if he didn't show your, like, tell your opponent and you just randomly go, surprise, here's a 629 coming down, or 28. No, 27. That's
whatever
the
math. Scale to. Yeah.
See, that's the other problem with the 11 thing. It's
uneven.
It's
an odd number. It's a bizarre odd number. Yeah, so like High Evo with the Evolved Hulk is a bit of a guessing game. You're like, I know how many times he's passed, but I don't know how many times Hulk has been in his hand. Hulk could be significantly lower. And it's actually a really interesting mind game to play when you're like, if Hulk is only 16, I win. But if Hulk is a 20, I lose. Like, what do I think he had? That's a fun game. But with the Red Hulk being able to come out kind of nowhere, like there's not other cards setting it up and there's not other behavior on your part to set it up other than, I guess, play wave. But people aren't doing that at all. I think it is fair. And he's still really strong.
But I do think the fact that he shows your opponent, I've had plenty of games where, like, on turn three, they only play a two cost, and then at the end, Red Hulk shows, and then about 30 seconds go by on the timer in turn four, and then they just retreat. Because I think they're mapping out based on their hand, like, okay, am I skipping another two turns here?
Interesting, interesting.
Like, I've had that on stream today. That happened multiple times where, like, I show them, here's Red Hulk, and they're like, nah. It's going to grow too big. Because it does give agency back to the opponent, which I think is good.
It does. They don't know what they're going to top deck. They could have top decked an answer, but...
Right. Well, it's not just about the answer. It's also about, like, how much... Like, can I curve out correctly, or am I going to continue growing this thing?
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I think it's just really, really good for seemingly no reason. And...
Well, one of the reasons it's good is because of some of these greedy... And it's like... Hope being as good as she is, Red Hulk's kind of an answer, but they play together, which means that it's still a problem.
Right.
But if you're running Hope, you more commonly have a surplus of energy.
What if
Hope only triggered once a turn?
That'd be great. Let's do that first. But what if we gave Red Hulk a second little ability?
Second little ability?
Every time you, as the controller of Red Hulk,
okay,
float energy.
Yep.
He loses 4 power.
What? Interesting.
So that way, if you float as well, he's in your hand, and your opponent floats, it's a wash. Either that, or he needs to be like a 6-6.
Yeah, no, start him lower, please. His stat line is kind of trumped up.
Why
right
is
now.
APOC a 6-6, goes +2 every time you discard it only? Oh, no, it's +4, right?
Yeah, it's +4.
Okay, so APOC, same thing. It's +4 every time you discard it, and you have way more agency over that. You can build the deck around him. He's all the way down to a 6-6, and Red Hulk's like, if they pass once, I got 2 discards out of APOC?
Red Hulk should definitely start lower. I would probably knock him down 2 points to begin and see what happens. Maybe
or
3, make him
three.
A 6-8. Oh, make him scale at +3. Like, I'm okay with any of these. Just tone him down a little bit. He's still going to get played. As long as he's hitting bigger than Blob, on average, like, he gets played instead of these cards. That's the problem with these cards that are, like, high max cost, and they're good just because they're big. Is that the next biggest card is just better than the other one, and then you stop playing with the other one because you don't have space to run multiples together.
And the problem is he's incredibly strong in a generic sense.
Yes.
So what makes him very strong at the moment, and until he's only been out for like a couple of days, it's that really makes it, like, you can just, like, you see, like, here, here's a Baron Zemo list, he's in there, and Teddy, look at that, here's my Baron Zemo list, he's in there.
Oh, it's Red Hulk.
Yeah, here's my Thanos list.
He doesn't
have
to have synergy with anything else in the deck. He's just like, oh, I need a big card to finish. Well, Red Hulk is the big card to finish, especially with Hope. That's the kicker, right? Is that the Hope play that'll give you...
I did so bad with bounce today.
That'll give... Oh, no. Don't let me see that. Oh, Red Hulk plus. Red Hulk plus anything as a play is, like, insane. Also, just Red Hulk on 5 off of the Hope is... insane.
Yeah, it's just really good,
dude. It's like, some of the best things is when there's cloning vets, or you have Nico set up to be able to duplicate him and Hope at the same time to, like, weave this combo together for multiples is amazing. Also, the Nico Legion has given me more fun than I could have ever imagined. The ability to have Legion hit the board, change the other locations to that location, but then that location get changed before it could affect a Legion is this mind-melting possibility that I've actually pulled off twice to, like, mega wins.
It's pretty cool.
Quantum Realm.
Yeah.
I've switched the others to Quantum Realm, but then flip the Legion location from Quantum Realm so he doesn't get debuffed, and then I catch him out and I win 8 cubes. It's, like, nuts.
All right, so we know Red Hulk is good.
Yes.
Let's talk about the other one, the Season Pass card, the more fun one.
Who is also good.
I agree. I think Baron Zemo is a way better than I thought he'd be.
Yeah.
He's just really strong, actually.
Now, I like this because I think your approach was more all in mill. I tried it,
yep,
and then I ended up liking another version a little bit better. But you have a pretty successful all in mill that I'm actually happy looking at it as well. Like, I tried something similar, just didn't quite stick for me. You have a couple adaptations, but I was running a very similar. Now, do you also have the Black Bolt stature, or is this like the final form?
So this is the final form right now. Prior to this build, I had Black Bolt stature and Mockingbird, as well as Doctor Doom. So basically, I had no Shang-Chi, no Zabu, no Red Hulk, kind of thing. And there was no Legion either. It was just, it was a little bit less on the fours. And it was fine. I regret just changing the list as I was going to this one, because this is a mixture of those two decks, the stats. So yeah. I kind of wish I could go back and see how the other one did. But I really liked Black Bolt stature, don't get me wrong. And I was excited to play it. It's just, this just feels like, again, just two generic top end cards. You're like, yeah, this is good. Had Grandmaster Legions in there. It's not
loves anything where he has freedom to play, and
right,
man, it's a good time to play him because a lot of decks are getting pretty greedy with magic and they're not running Leech to protect them anymore. Legion is
right
lights out.
Leech is a whole other thing. But yeah, that I feel like I need Shang-Chi in this list. So
yeah, so for our audio listeners, you've got Spider-Ham, Yondu, Zabu, Cable, Baron Zemo, Gladiator, Shang-Chi, Absman, Ms. Marvel, Iron Lad, Legion, and Rolk, Red Hulk. So you get a little bit of hand attack, and then you get that core of mill in the Yondu, Cable, Baron Zemo, Gladiator, Absman, Iron Lad. You're kind of, with this, you're actually hoping to mill them.
Yeah.
You can, if you want to go even harder, run Grandmaster, but I tried that, and I felt like maybe it was a little bit of a trap.
Yeah, it felt like too often it was just a little bit underwhelming. Like,
you also have the other Baron, Baron Mordo, which does mill them most of the time by taking a card from their deck and making it, as long as it was a cheap card, unplayable at 6 cost, and also as long as they're not playing Mobius. So there's a couple of caveats there as to why you might cut that guy as well.
Okay, let me tell you this. The best play I did with a Grandmaster, and I had him in the deck, was not Grandmastering Baron Zemo, Gladiator, Absorbing Man, nothing like that. It was none of that. The best play I had was a Soul Reed. I played Spider-Ham on one.
Yeah.
I hit my opponent who's playing discard because they played Meek on one. I hit their collector.
Yep.
I'm like, okay, that's a 2/2. Like, I'm not trusting bad that they just don't have Morbid Time in hand. They're just going to drop the 2/2 pig. Right? So I hit Spider-Ham with the Grandmaster.
Yes.
They had priority, so I watch the pig flip up. I'm like, yes, and it goes middle, then APOC smacked. Yep. And I was like, oh, this is the best feeling ever.
Give me so old good Spider-Ham right back. We got old Angela, give me old Spider-Ham.
Yeah. I will take old Spider-Ham as a 2/2 if they want to do that, but I understand
that I'm fine with that,
they won't. Yeah. That was my favorite play I've done with Grandmaster. Kind of shows you why he's a trap.
Yeah,
I love Absorbing Man on the list, though. I really, really love Absorbing Man here, especially because I have Zabu now, and sometimes I'm just like, well, Shang-Chi Absorbing Man. Have fun.
Shang Absorbing Man turn 6 is very good. Absman on Cable, not so much. You're really looking for the Zemo hit, which
the curve you want is Yondu into Cable into Zemo into Absman.
Right, and if you have to squeeze Gladiator in there, that's fine.
Right, Gladiator. Sometimes I'll look and I'm like, I think I'm going to Gladiator first instead of the Zemo if I have them both in hand.
Right.
Because sometimes I'll have I have Ham first. I go Ham and then I go Cable. I have these two in hand, but then I drew Yondu late. So I was like, okay, I gonna do the Gladiator now. And now on four, right. I can go Yondu, Zemo. Yes. And then
cultivate
I can
even, the Zemo.
And then I can still Absman on five and be very happy with my choices.
100%.
So the deck's good.
I think Zemo is a very good card. I think that I'm still trying to find the best shell for him. Mill has potential, but also is like, you almost just live and die on the Zemo with that combo because the rest of the cards don't really pay out. I mean, yes, Cable and Yondu can have their one-offs. Yondu less so now in his current form, Cable a little bit more so, but you really want the Zemo to pop. What I've done is I've taken a fairly similar core, but then I paired it with Kitty and Hope, and I have Elsa Bloodstone. So Zemo does help me fill the board to be able to trigger on Bloodstone. And then it's just like two very cost-effective shells that work in slight synergy with each other. And then the high end of Red Hulk Legion, which also right. just work really good on their own. So it's kind of a good card. It's very flexible. I can handle any locations coming at me with the Legion. And I can handle almost any matchup between Red Hulk going over the top or Shang beating them back down.
Do last 30 days of Zemo because I want to see before the patch what was doing the best. I don't know how I feel about the bounce version. I just feel like it doesn't have enough time to set things up correctly to get Zemo going.
Well, that's why they go for the magic, but then I actually have had a couple times where they milled me successfully and got the extra time, but they just didn't make enough points
right
to win at the end of it. Like I still beat them. Yeah.
Here's the good stuff kind of thing with like actually more of a hand attack. Like, so you got Yondu.
Yeah,
Zabu,
the Doc Ock I've seen a couple times and I do kind of like it.
Bipolar Stature.
Yeah.
I like this idea. I like this
Silver
take.
Sam is the spicy one, right? But
yeah, because you don't really have anything you want to actively discard with Silver Sam.
No, it's just truly a sacrifice on your part to put the Stature in a winning position.
Yeah, I feel like I'd want something to hit with that. Like maybe like, you know, maybe you could do like another three, like a Dakin or something like that. If you don't have these, I don't know. Then you're maybe getting a little too lost in the sauce.
Yeah, the Dakin slows down your mill. Yeah, Loki is the best synergy with Mockingbird, which is like the through line.
Mm-hmm.
Your board space cries, true right. tears. But
the reason I had Mockingbird in the other list for a time was because I was like, look, worst case scenario, I go turn three Zemo. And I can just go turn four Mockingbird, and I'm kind of okay with it.
4/9 is okay-ish. You got a couple other things you could work in. I actually had White Tiger in my deck for a little bit because you've got Absman and you've got Mockingbird.
Mm-hmm.
It was an idea. It didn't really pan out, but it's an idea. Maybe you guys can crack it better than I did.
Maybe if you go more into the Wong stuff.
Right.
But
which also, Wong's pretty free. There's no Cosmo. I've been seeing a lot of Wong, and I don't like it.
Yeah, you know what they could do with that. You know what they could really do, Teddy?
Surfer Zemo?
I'm not a fan, but...
He's a three cost.
Sure.
Why not?
I was going to say, two cost Cosmo. Give it to me.
There we go. Yep, buff give the Cosmo.
I like this week a lot. I like the cards. Red Hulk's very good. The Season Pass card's very good. It's going to look. My prediction in the beginning of the month was the best card of the month will be Red Hulk purely because it looks generically strong, and I think that's going to be the case.
Interesting. Yeah, so my top pick was Zemo. I feel like that's now pretty in jeopardy given how strong Red Hulk has released, and I think Red Guardian is actually going to be number one.
I think Red Guardian is going to be number two behind Red Hulk. Red Guardian is my favorite card of the month and the one I'm most excited about.
Okay.
But generically strong cards
right.
are really good in this game.
Oh, no, 100%. And it's partly a meta read. Like, Red Guardian is going to be able to dismantle, discard, and destroy, which that alone might be enough to really let control shine.
All right. Well, let's look ahead to the future. Next week is U.S. Agent Mirage.
USA Gent.
Yes, USA Gent. I love the design on one hand. On another hand, I'm like, it makes my brain go, It's kind of like
exactly what comic book callouts like this are supposed to do, though.
But that makes me think of I'm eating something soft and there's a crunch randomly. It's kind of what my brain does when I read this. Oh, this way. You know what I mean? Do you see it?
So, no.
Okay. Well, let's talk about that. That's my special form of autism. Yes.
Wow.
Agent is going to be a 2/3 ongoing. 4, 5, and 6 cost cards have -3 power. He's going to be the worst card of the month. I'm going to come out swinging and say he's going to be the worst card of the month, looking at White Widow, Valentina, and Red Guardian. However, that doesn't mean he's going to be bad. I actually think there's been comparison to Man Thing, which I think for good reason. However,
sure,
Man Thing is a card in which when you look at him, he is great to play on 4, and he's great to just be like, oh, I see my opponent played a 1 and a 2 in this lane. I'm going to slap that down, let him be, force them to put a big card there, and I can attack the other two lanes, right? You're forcing, you're not relying on Man Thing to win that lane, but you're putting your opponent in a position in which they now need to commit extra resources to the Man Thing lane to win it, while you can comfortably set up your game plan and establish the wins in your other two lanes. Right. U.S. Agent doesn't do that.
No, U.S. Agent does way, way less. Like, you can read the abilities and you're like, they're symmetrical. They each affect half the cards. No. There are probably, if you think about your games, how many times is your opponent playing 4, 5, and 6 cost cards compared to 1, 2, and 3 cost cards? They're going to play twice as many 1, 2, and 3 cost cards as they do the higher cost cards. So U.S. Agent has way fewer targets, and those targets are set up later in the game, whereas Man Thing is able to take advantage, prey upon that tempo play, where then the opponent has already set up a couple pieces that he's able to affect. And U.S. Agent, you're going to want to hold.
Right. Which is where, so with Man Thing, I've always said, people that think he's a bad card, you're trying to play things like Debris. You're trying to, Viper over a Hood or something like that and do junk stuff and, give them the 1 and 2 cost cards, and then have the Man Thing cash in on it. That's the wrong way to play the card. He is much better.
Trying too hard.
He's a much better independent threat, like I just painted a few moments ago, than trying to enable what he's doing. The contrary, I think, is true for U.S. Agent. I think he's better when you set up the effect that you're providing. Even if you did Hobgoblin, he hits Hobgoblin. That's cool.
He hits the Void.
And the Void is what they send over. And on top of that, where I think he's going to shine isn't necessarily just the Void or the Hobgoblin in getting those. I think he's going to be the best in supporting your big cards. Because if I have a Hulk, right? Or a Red Hulk, let's say that.
Okay.
And I play the U.S. Agent on that Red Hulk lane. Yes, he's going to affect my own Red Hulk if I don't have Luke Cage. But because U.S. Agent is a 3-power himself, it's a wash against your single big card, if that's how you do it, right?
So you're calling out that his main value is going to be denying Shang, early Shangs against your cards?
No. I think he's going to be good against your opponent's big stuff when they try to play a big Hulk of their own to contest against yours.
Yeah, but then he's debuffing both of them equally.
Right.
Why don't I just play any other 2/3 that does something else that's better?
Sure.
Okay.
But I think he's going to, as far as his roles go, it's going to be either enabling yourself with your own, 4 or 5 costs, the Void or the Hobgoblin.
Okay. Yeah.
Or he's just going to be good at supporting your 6 costs in a fight against their 6 costs.
All right. I have not followed you at all on that second case. I'm going to present a third case, which is just he's going to be okay in the Hazmat Luke Cage Man Thing package. It just completes.
I think that's a bad package overall, but yeah, sure.
Right. I think Luke Cage Hazmat is not bad.
Right. I'd rather play other things besides
Luke Cage in general right now is just pretty okay. And then if you have a couple of high efficiency 2 costs to go with it, that Toxic Sarah, give it to me.
And weird, funny thought. If they play Shang-Chi against your big thing, which you have Agent in that lane.
Yep.
You've now debuffed their Shang-Chi, and now you have a 3-0 swing against their Shang-Chi with just the US Agent versus that. So if you have a big card set up on his Lonesome, right? And they have an empty lane.
They're going to play Shang. The US Agent could just be the equalizer.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, no, that would be very funny, but also incredibly, incredibly niche.
But it happens a lot. I'm just saying. I'll play a big card by itself, and they're like, I'll Shang that later. And then they do.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's just though Shang is in a lane by himself.
Right.
I mean, it happens.
You could also just play like Kyara or Armor.
You're absolutely correct. Armor is a 2/3. You're correct with all of these things. Yeah. Okay, you're absolutely correct.
As long as we're reading the room right, it's just like, I don't know, man, how this guy's supposed
to
get
played. I'm just giving you scenarios in which he can provide niche applications and be a good card.
It sounds like C tier to me.
Yes, but that's average, right?
Yep.
C is average.
Yep.
I think he's going to be a C+, just barely above average. I think that's where he's going to kind of level off.
Gotcha. The public school special.
Yeah. So when I say I don't think a card's going to be bad, don't mistake that for being like, oh, it's an A tier card. No. It's not.
Right.
It's not. I think Man-Thing's an A tier card, actually. I think he's just people suck with him.
Wow. Harsh.
To Man-Thing or to people that try to play with him?
Yeah, just calling out the whole Marvel Snap community right there.
Well, people get...
We still need to... We'll need to brew up our tier list of the most underplayed cards. That might be a good for next episode.
Yeah, we can do that. I don't know. It's just... But also, look, if you don't have Jeff, maybe this is a week you want to pull the trigger on some of these.
Right.
Mirage is a card that sees no play, unfortunately.
No, not anymore. Cable is like, why do I ever play Mirage?
Could she be a one cost?
Could Mirage be a one cost? Yes.
Can she still have +2 to the card that you give, or does that be like +1?
You're saying make her like a 1/1 with the +2? That's fine.
Okay.
One cost power threshold is like,
so she's effectively a 1/3?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Because I mean the other like the power threshold of a one cost is supposed to be 5 power. And so here you're getting information from the opponent's deck, a new card to play. That's probably cheap. And then effectively at 1/3.
And then we have Jeff. He's good. Don't change him.
So good.
One of the best cards in the game. I don't particularly like this variant.
I just need any variant right now, so I'll take it.
It's weird. It's called the Kai Jeff, but I'm not getting the scale of his size from the art here.
Right. They needed like some of his other canonical companions, like around his head or something to show size.
Yeah.
Because isn't he like his friends with Captain Marvel and also Kate?
Ghost Spider as well.
Yeah. So if they had like Ghost Spider swinging off his fin, then you'd get it.
I'm sorry, not Ghost Spider. Gwenpool. Gwenpool. Apologize.
Oh, gotcha.
Because the art that I have for him is the one where Gwenpool's holding him.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Which isn't that funny that we have a card with Gwenpool in the art, mm-hmm. but don't have Gwenpool yet.
Sure.
It's kind of like how we had Kamala as an emote forever before we ever got her as a card.
Yeah.
I don't know. This could be a good card. This could be a great card. Maybe a good card.
Oh, yeah. The rest of the month is all hits, so you can take US Agent off also if you already have Jeff.
But God, I'm so tired of seeing this dude in these... spotlights.
At this point, the devs know, right? Like, it's becoming a joke.
Okay, let's see.
Null is in every single spotlight cache.
This is his fourth spotlight appearance. That's it? Just four?
I thought we're up to five. I think I see five.
One spotlight, two spotlight.
Oh, no, that's a super rare. Okay.
Three spotlight, four spotlight.
No, I do see five.
What do you mean you see five?
I thought I see five. You have the two top, and then you down one, and bottom left, and then one below that.
Three, four.
Yeah, you're missing the one on the right. Oh, that's super rare. Never mind. I can't read. You're right. There's four.
Well,
maybe there's not that many then.
I think it's just let's see. We can see this right here. So July.
Was it because 11th. One of them was repeated?
Maybe.
That's so July, probably what it was.
Week of July. Okay.
Yeah.
September.
Yep.
November.
Yep.
And then April. So no, there's only repeated. Four.
All right. Anyway, four is still higher than anybody else, I'm pretty sure.
Probably.
Yeah.
And then what else we're looking forward to, Teddy?
What else are we looking forward to, Brad?
I don't know. I'm asking you. we covered the OTA.
We're looking forward to?
Covered the OTA. Covered the new cards.
Yeah.
Covered the next card coming out.
Exactly. We hit it.
I got nothing else for this episode, my guy.
Yeah, we'll be coming back next episode to review what this patch is going to be like. Most underplayed cards from me and Brad. Your sneak tickets to success. And then we'll be looking forward to that live episode, guys.
Yeah. So, patch next week on the 9th. So that's going to be a good one. Hopefully it's a big one, a big shakeup, something crazy. Like, I want to see, like, two full reworks in the patch.
Two full reworks. Ew, boy.
Okay, I'm rapid fire. Rapid fire. What? Give me two cards that you would want to see reworked.
I've already said Black Knight.
Okay, that's not a rework. That's a nerf if they go in one direction.
Okay, so then it's probably just stuff that I want to see like buffed significantly. Like I want to see a new version of Punisher, just completely new version of Punisher.
Okay,
and I want to see a total rework to finally hit on Adam Warlock. Like they changed him. I'm hoping that they've been brewing the real change. I want to see the real change hit us here. It's about time.
Yeah, I agree with both of those. As far as what I would think of like what I want to see as a full rework, Colossus, I want to see almost have a full rework.
Wow.
I know they can't because he's series one and that this is a card that people play early on.
Right.
But I would love to see him just be insanely different in all capacity. Otherwise, there's nothing else really coming to mind as far as a full rework goes. Like, what's a bad card? Oh, yeah,
Hercules.
Kang.
Kang rework would be spicy. Ooh. Because they have not hinted even that there's something coming.
That would be out of left field. Smack me along the face.
But it's about time.
Right. Cool. Yeah, give me a Kang rework. I would take Old Leader back for a Kang rework.
Hang on. You want Kang to be Old Leader? Or you're saying that you would suffer through Leader
Correct.
Getting reverted
if there was a viable Kang? Yes. I would Amazing. Gladly accept them being like, you know what? Kind of upset about Leader. So we're going to put him back to his original form. You know what? Also, he's going to keep the 6-7 that we did that first time around.
Arrow and Eliath, all the same as when they were released.
Actually, we're reverting back to the previous Eliath, the 5-5 that we thought would be cool. We're going to do that.
Oh, no.
But hey, you got a Kang rework, buddy. All right. We love you all. We appreciate you. Let us know in the comments down below what you would want to see as some cool reworks for full reworks. Master Mold is another consideration potentially as well. Let us know what you want to see as far as the next bonus episode goes or future tier lists as well. We're going to be working on the underrated and underplayed cards next week. But let us know if you have any other ideas for that. Of course, go to the Patreon, patreon.com/can'tstopsnapping. Remember, on the 18th, we will be doing that live episode for everyone, whether you're free or paid. So at least hop in as a free member. Again, patreon.com/can'tstopsnapping. And last but not least, go sub to the YouTube channel if you're not already watching there. youtube.com/can'tstopsnapping. Look at that. It's all tied together. It's wonderful. We love you, Teddy.
Till next time, don't stop snapping.
Bye, everybody.
Can't Stop Snapping is a podcast hosted and produced by Brad Seffert and Teddy Ninja, originally created by Michael Thurman.